Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray's engineering and producing the show. Ray, do you realize that we have had seven straight days of precipitation, measurable, and even a trace counts at the airport? And so if today, if we get any rain at all, we will break a record for the most consecutive days with rain in Tucson, Arizona. And this after I was complaining for 3 weeks in July that I was very worried that the monsoon, one, was over, and two, that we would set a record for no rain in July. Boy, was I wrong. You can't underestimate Mother Nature, can you, Sean McCluskey?
Well, you can't, because yesterday, if you take a look what happened in Phoenix, they had their 100-year flood, basically.
Goodness.
So, a most rain they've ever
like,
had.
Land Rovers that I saw floating down the...
I-17 was flooded. Parts of the outskirts of Phoenix were flooded. 3-4 feet of water again this year. So, good times.
Whoa. It is the Buckmaster Show. The live line number 790-2040. And your calls will enhance certainly the next half hour, because it is Showdown Day, the monthly showdown. We do the monthly showdown the first Wednesday of the month, and we like to say that the Showdown is the only, we're the only Arizona radio show that has a dedicated segment to talk about race issues. Not real comfortable for a lot of folks, but it's important enough that I think we need to talk about it, and I'm glad we do. In the right-hand corner, you heard from him a few moments ago, Mr. Sean McCluskey. Sean, one of the original Tea Party founders in Pima County. He's also a Republican Party activist.
Well, I won't take claim to founding it, but I will take claim to taking part in it.
Okay. But look how fast this Tea Party developed. I believe it started 2012, right? Pretty much right after
2010, 2011.
Right after Obamacare.
And look what happened. Seated in the left of me, David Morales. Mr. Morales is... a rebel rouser, would that be accurate to say?
I'll take that.
There you go. All right. He's also the creator and owner of the Three Sonorans blog site. Okay. My topic originally, and I posted on the Facebook preview, maybe we'll have a chance to get to it, the whole Black Lives Matters group now is looking at economic prosperity, changing topics a little bit on you guys today because of what's going on with Mr. Trump and a possible, what's being called, Trump allies, Sean McCluskey, are getting together for like an intervention, because the last 48 hours, you would admit, have been rough. Would you admit it?
You know, it's typical Trump campaign, though. If you take a look at the entire whole campaign that he's been in so far, he's had several missteps, several political blunders or media blunders, if you will, and says some things that get some attention. The best thing about that is, though, what are you still talking about? You're still talking about Trump. Yes, he stepped in it again.
That's true.
However, we're still talking about him. And some of the people that are freaking out, especially in his inner circle,
the Paul Ryan supporters are furious.
Well, okay, Paul Ryan is getting a taste of his own medicine. Paul Ryan did not come out and overwhelmingly support Donald Trump. Donald Trump did not come out and overwhelmingly support Paul Ryan. Shocker. Hello, newsflash. Donald Trump plays politics just as well as you do. You don't like his style of politics, so therefore you whine and cry about it. Get over it. Guess what? The Democrats and everybody else, even the old-time Republicans, you establishment Republicans, get used to a new, more abrasive, more in-your-face style of politics. It's about time we get over political correctness and start correcting the crap that's wrong.
So this is going to be the new standard?
I would say get used to it.
Wow.
I mean, I think that this is very indicative of where American society is today, and I think this is actually related to the Black Lives Matter topic you wanted to talk about earlier. Racial tensions are at all-time high. And actually,
thanks, Obama.
And actually, when Republicans mention political correctness, that's their code word for, you know, we want to say what we want to say. Donald Trump says what we want to say. He says things that we can't say. Well, what they're really talking about is, you know, let's get rid of the Mexicans. Let's get rid of the Muslims. Yes, you are.
No.
You want to spend billions of dollars.
About quit being so sensitive and quit tiptoeing around the subjects and talk about it and call it like it is.
Donald Trump doesn't do that.
Abortion is murder. That's what we want to talk about. We want to lay it out just in simple black and white facts. Yes, it is back to a color race. It's a race issue with us. It's black and white. There is no gray area. Let's get out of the gray area and get to the facts of it.
Before you get on to the whole Black Lives Matter, I still want to stick a little bit more with Trump here, David. And I think what bothers a lot of people is the whole situation about Mr. and Mrs. Khan and their son, an Army captain who died in 2004 in Iraq, I believe.
Okay, yes. So let's talk about Mr. and Mrs. Khan. Mm-hmm. He brings it out, and nobody brings up to Hillary or Mrs. Clinton about Benghazi. It's let's beat on Trump and say that you're an evil, rotten SOB because you're taking on the Khan family. But nobody not once has mentioned any one of the four fallen individuals in Benghazi towards Hillary Clinton, have they? No. Let's play fair. Let's bring up both sides.
Well, I think this is what one of the problems with the discussion in America today is that, you know, like, for example, your Republican loyalist that's going to defend them no matter what they do. And if Donald Trump decides to get out or change course, you're going to go with that, too. I'm not a Democratic loyalist. I'm not loyal to any party. I'm loyal to the truth and to logic and reasoning, okay? Now, you got, you know, the whole Republican convention was talking about Benghazi, and email servers. That's fine, but that's all you guys have. Let's talk about what's going on today. What this happened this week.
Broke the law. That's not important.
No, let's talk about this now. Let's talk about how Donald Trump, because we talked plenty during the Republican convention about Hillary and the emails in Benghazi. Now let's talk about what Donald Trump did
recently. Has he broken the law?
Recently. Let's talk about his political correctness.
Did he commit a felony?
He might have.
Did anybody die under his watch?
You're afraid to talk about his racial rhetoric, is what you're talking. Why would someone say?
I've worked for his corporation. Okay. He hired everybody of every ethnicity across the freaking board.
Explain to me why.
There's no bias.
Wait
a second.
Have any. Let David have
explain to me why Donald Trump would say what he said about the commander and his son.
About Captain Khan. And then another thing that's bothering a lot of people, Sean, is the Purple Heart deal. You had I'm not sure if he was Vietnam veteran who gave his Purple Heart to Donald Trump. And rather than Mr. Trump, you know, saying thank you very much and then maybe shaking his hand and pinning the medal back on this guy, Mr. Trump said, I've always wanted one of these. It seems a little bit cold.
He said this is a lot easier to get it this way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we making too big a deal out of this,
I think,
Sean?
So. Well, you're making much a bigger deal out of this about something, and not saying I'm not trivializing this in any way, shape, or form, so don't misunderstand.
Because you're a veteran.
And you're absolutely right. Now,
and thank you for your service.
Appreciate that, but it's not about me. It's about you guys. So what it comes down to is this. It comes down to, did Trump step in it there? Yes, he did. But you want to hold him absolutely accountable for something that he did there, but yet you let Hillary go scot-free off of her servers in her bathroom where the Russians have all of her material. There's guaranteed
classified. So you're saying you need to play it both ways.
Absolutely. Well, there's guaranteed classified information on there. And the reason why Comey, from the director of the FBI, did not prosecute Hillary is quite simple. If you look at it a little more in depth, you cannot tell me that on that server there is not an email exchange between the president, Obama, and Hillary, which would then implicate he would have to charge the president with the same felony that he should have charged Hillary with, and we let her go scot-free.
So here's
the same person, Eric Snowden, the same level of mistrust or breach in American policy, he is now chastised and exercised from this country, but yet she's walking around running for president on the Democratic ticket.
Okay, David, will you hold your thought lock? Because I've got two calls on the line. We want to enhance this conversation. Jim is up first. Hey, Jim Kelly.
Yeah. Hey. You know, both of you need to take a look at a couple of things. Number one, David, the in-your-face politics started in 1968. With the Democratic National Convention, and the left never let up since then. And it has always been in your face when it came to the left against Republicans. All right, so now Republicans, or at least Trump, is in your face, and nobody likes it.
He's being racist is what he is.
Wait a minute. You talked about racial language.
Mm-hmm.
The left has used racial language to divide for 50 freaking years.
Like what?
Since Johnson. The left has used racial.
Can we talk recently? Not Johnson. Not 50 years ago.
Whites from blacks and from other minorities. See? So now you got somebody who's using a different kind of language, but it's doing the same thing.
Right.
You're both wrong. You're both wrong.
You're wrong.
Both sides are wrong.
All right.
Okay? And finally, with regards to the Khan incident with Trump, Trump's an idiot. He needs to make an apology and an amends to the parents. They lost their son who wore our uniform, Sean.
I agree with
died
you.
Died on the battlefield wearing yes. our uniform. He was our brother. And when he's our brother in uniform, we don't care about religion. We don't care about race. We don't care about background or who mommy and daddy is. All we care about is their behavior on the battlefield. And that guy jumped in front of a freaking bomb.
Right.
He owes our respect.
Thank you, Jim. Jim Kelly, thank you, Jim, for your service as well. Can we get Tom in here since it's still talking about the cons? Tom, you're up next. Go ahead. You're on the showdown.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to tell you my experience over this election cycle so far. Almost every time I hear Trump said this horrible thing or Trump this, Trump that, you know what I find is that when I actually do my own due diligence and actually go back to what he actually said, it's far less egregious than what the media or anybody purports it to be. I wonder how many people actually take the time to listen to these things. Frankly, oh. I went back and I listened to that Stephanopoulos interview.
Mm-hmm.
Trump said nothing that he needs to apologize for, in my view.
Okay.
Nothing.
All right, Tom, thank you very much.
Well, I think I haven't said much in this interview, and this is one of the problems with the discourse in society today. So, for example, we're here to talk about current events, and you spent the majority of your time talking about Benghazi. And if you want to talk about Benghazi today and just stick to Benghazi, that's fine, but that's not the topic for today.
Hold people accountable. That's what I want.
That's the thing. We can talk about a million things, but that's not the topic for today. The topic for today is what's going on today.
Yes or no, today we have a lady running for president who is guilty and people
Sean,
die. Yes or no?
We're not going to
yes,
get
they did.
We're not going to
yes,
get
she is. She's guilty.
I know you
die.
Didn't go to college, but there's rules of discourse, there's rules of logic and reasoning that you use. And if you want to get stuck on that thing for the rest of this show, we're not going to get anywhere.
All
we're,
right.
we're here to talk about Donald Trump today.
Where we are going to get somewhere is right now we have to take a break, and then we'll pick it up after the break. But we'll be back. It is The Showdown. Sean McCluskey and David Morales, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. Question. How many cockroaches does it take to change a light bulb? None, if you use 5-Star Termite and Pest Control, because there are no cockroaches. Hasta luego. Adios, cucaracha. Do yourself a favor and call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an AMA Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, big plans for the Pima Animal Welfare Alliance. It's called PAWS. Buckmaster Show legal contributor Don Luce also joins us. Buckmaster noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice. It's AM 1030 KVOI. We've got worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show. It's our monthly showdown. David Morales is here of the Three Sonorans, and Sean McCluskey is here as well. We've been talking about, well, the topic generally is Trump done, and Republican, some of the Paul Ryan party loyalists, I think, are hoping he is done. But Sean, you say this is much to do about nothing. You've been talking to some
inside
people.
You have three races that are contested primaries, and it's funny that the RNC and Republicans across the country want Donald Trump to come out and support Paul Ryan, who's in a contested primary, support John McCain, who locally is in a contested primary, and then I think it's Kelly Ayotte that's in a contested primary as well. He hasn't come out for any one of the three of them, and he's hemmed and hawed about it. So you get political pundits all over across MSNBC and everywhere else are freaking out over this, mm-hmm. that he didn't do it. And they went to the campaign manager, who is short-lived at best because of the fact of his comments are, oh, well, you know, it's just we're going to see what happens. And they say that he's taking a wait-and-see attitude is not Trump style. He wants somebody who's aggressive and
you
a go-getter.
You worked for Mr. Trump for 4 years. Is he mentally stable or
absolutely.
Unstable?
Mentally stable, absolutely. He is mentally stable, yes, sir. I will tell you that the campaign manager won't be there very long because of his comments today. And they said earlier that he's committing political suicide.
All right.
He's not.
Is he stable, David, do you think?
I don't think he's stable. I think he's inconsistent. If you want to, you know, get into all his inconsistencies, all his contradictions, mm-hmm. I think he's the perfect person to represent the Republican Party right now, because the Republican Party doesn't even know what it is today. Here we are, patriotism, Christianity, this is like the Tea Party, this is what, and then if you look at Donald Trump, it's a contradiction. You have, you know, bashing on John McCain, who was a POW, bashing on Khan, you know, for his service, and then you have, okay, he's a, you know, triply married, he hates immigrants, but they're the only ones that will have his kids, I guess they're the only ones that do jobs Americans don't want to do, and you just have this, you know, hated rhetoric of, you know, build a border, and that's not even going to do anything. But you know what? Build a border wall. It just incites.
You said build a border.
Yeah, it incites this racial rhetoric inside him. And so what we were arguing during the commercial, and I was saying to Sean, what is in his heart? Mm-hmm. What is in his mind when he says these comments? Mm-hmm. Is it coming from a good Christian place of love your neighbors, love your brothers? Because Jesus was an immigrant too, right? Where's this stuff coming from? And why does it why do Republicans love this?
Let's look at the flip side. He sees.
You're not answering the question.
And I'm going to give you the answer. Okay. He looks at it and sees.
He sees brown
all
people.
He sees all the rest of the hate in the world. He sees the bombing that just took place in Paris. Sees all the attacks that go through. Sees the unvetted, 500% increase in Syrian refugees into America at this current time that are all unvetted. That scares the ever-living you-know-what. It comes out your backside out of him.
And so he has to attack
U.S.
soldiers because...
And he wants to, again, go back to his simple statement, make America great again, basic things, put America back to work, make it safe.
So I'm glad you mentioned this because this is one of the biggest differences between the RNC and the DNC was the DNC was actually like the old Republican Party, very patriot, because to say that you want to make America great again is to imply that America is not great right now.
It's not. You have a leader that's
so
taking
how
us
can
down
you
the
be
toilet bowl.
How can you say America is the greatest country on earth, America's great, we love America, fly the flag, and then say, you know, America's not even great.
It's not right. Great right now.
Matthew, thank you for waiting. 790-2040. Matthew, what's on your mind?
It's hard to imagine that here we are in Tucson, Arizona, the home of the National Center for Civility, and we should be looking at this differently. And I've said this before, the moment Donald Trump became the nominee for president from his party, and the moment Hillary Clinton became the nominee for president for her party, one of these two people will be president. And I think it's incumbent upon both the media and the public to start to work with these people with the mindset that one of them will be the president of the United States.
Well, we don't even know that, though, Matthew. We don't even know if Trump is going to be around.
He'll be
around. Well, Bill, first of all, I'll say this. It was wrong of President Obama to say that the Republican nominee is unfit for office.
It's the truth.
He crossed the line there.
How?
It's okay for him to challenge both nominees. I mean, Hillary Clinton does not agree with him on TPP,
okay.
And yet Donald Trump does. So exactly, well, actually Donald Trump flip-flops. But the point is, I'm just saying from a point, it's also wrong for Donald Trump to say that already the election's rigged and things. And suggest that he's not going to accept the results of the election. So the point of the ultimate point is, you and I and the public and especially the media is contributing because we are right now a divided society, and we have got to get ourselves in a better mindset.
So I like what you were saying earlier about being unfit because, you know, let's go back to patriotism. Wasn't Donald Trump the one who didn't go to Vietnam? He got 5 deferments, and the reason for not going was because of his foot. And then they said, okay, well, which foot was it? And he says, oh, I forgot. Mm-hmm. So this is a guy when it was his time to serve the country, didn't. All right. And yet then he's the one that's going to get the Purple Heart. And then that's why he said this was a lot easier. Right.
And
what kind of brave soldier?
I go back to, do you really want Hillary, commander in chief, with with what she did in Benghazi, sitting for 13 hours doing nothing.
I can list a bunch of things.
Do you want her to be commander in chief? The world's falling around apart, down around apart around
Sean,
you.
What you're
it's
doing,
apart
what
around
you're doing
you.
Is a diversion strategy. You always want to refer to Benghazi when you don't.
It's your track
record. We're not
record.
Here to talk about Benghazi.
It's her track record. It's what she
you
did.
You want to talk about Trump's track record about rape allegations? You want to talk about all his bankruptcies?
And David, you are not a big Democratic supporter. You're voting for
Jill Stein.
Why?
Because, well, first of all, I think Arizona's going to go for Trump anyways because we go for our pile and we go for Deuces and we go for all these idiots, frankly. But, you know, you got to start a movement sometime. And I think the Democratic Party today is what the Republican Party used to be. It's the corporate party. The corporations, they don't really care about the Republicans because you guys are arguing about abortion still and gay rights which toilet.
Why would you throw your vote? Some would say this is just throwing your vote away. If you don't like Donald Trump, which is pretty obvious you don't
Trump. I hope hundreds of thousands join him in voting for Jill Stein and
because
not Hillary.
That's going to help.
Absolutely. Please bring it on.
The Electoral College is set up.
Hey,
to
Ross
throw,
Perot,
throw
how are you doing? Again, history repeats itself.
All the people,
and that's what's going to happen with Hillary.
Hey,
she'll repeat herself.
All the people that voted for Al Gore and he won, those votes were thrown away because he won the popular vote, and it doesn't matter in the system we set up.
So go to
the reason
to the battle
it's set
states.
Up this way.
Arizona is becoming a battle state. That's why Pence was here. You look at Ohio. You look at Florida. You look at the people that are on the ground in those states. Guess what? They're working, and they're working hard for Trump.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. Thank you very much, Sean McCluskey. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
And David Morales, thank you very
Always
much.
Always look forward to this.
Always a good session. Coming up now on 12:30 on The Buckmaster Show, we're going to change gears in our next segment. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. We're at this party where the homeowners recently replaced their old inefficient windows and doors with brand new energy efficient Pella products by Enhance Openings. And I tell you, these homeowners, they know what they're doing. They took advantage of our free Pella installation sale. Hey, look who's here. Wow, you're looking great.
John Lewis.
I never saw you so clearly.
Joseph Blair.
I saw you through the new patio door across the way. You look fabulous. And you're asking about the free installation sale? Call 520-886-1602, 520-886-1602 for the free Pella installations by Enhance Openings. My fellow Centurion is here. You're
Bill Hussey.
Bill, don't let the savings pass you by. Call today for our free installation sale, 520-886-1602. Join the Pella party. You got to call 886-1602, enhanceopenings.com. Well, you like the Pella products. Wait until you see the garage.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Thank you for joining us. We're here Monday through Friday at AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. And you don't really need to be in front of a radio anymore. If you're around a computer, you can listen to our program at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com. People do listen all over the world, and that is possible, of course, through the live streaming capability, which has really changed the broadcast business in a big way, but that's a topic for another discussion. With around 2,000 members, of which I happily am one, St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, at the corner of River and Campbell, is the largest in the Episcopal Diocese of Arizona. And now that iconic Foothills Church has a new spiritual leader. He's 39-year-old Reverend Robert Hendrickson III. Father Hendrickson comes to St. Philip's after serving for 3 years at St. John's Cathedral in Denver. Prior to that, he spent 7 years ministering in New Haven, Connecticut. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I can't be unwell. There were Krispy Kreme donuts out there. So
yes.
Maybe you'll get money now that I mentioned Krispy Kreme from them or something.
Well, you know, we tempt all of our guests. We tell them, go ahead, have a donut or two. The sugar will, you know, get you through the next half hour interview, right? Okay. You are the author of a highly regarded book titled Yearning, Young Adults, Mission, and the Church. And before his call to the ministry, Father Hendrickson was in the highly secular world of fashion, working as director for corporate communications for Brooks Brothers in New York City. Now he's here in Tucson. He and his wife and two young sons are, I hope, settling into their new home. How is that settling process?
Well, it's going all right. The two-year-old, his daycare doesn't start for another 2 weeks, so my wife is trying to work from home with a two-year-old running around and opening bottles of wine and whatever else two-year-olds do.
Has that had you been to Tucson before?
No, the only nearest I had been was to Phoenix, and that was about 10 years ago. So this process was my first time being in Tucson.
But you do, I understand, love Western history.
I do. So last year, my wife and I took a trip, and we drove all the way down to Tombstone, and on the way we listened to a history of Tombstone, and then on our way back up to Denver, we listened to a biography of Doc Holliday, so that was pretty fun.
What was it about this particular job that was so appealing to you? You had a pretty good gig going on in Denver.
Yeah.
And a great place to live, Denver. We think Tucson's a nicer place, but what was so appealing about this job?
Well, we were sort of at a point, and the position I had in Denver was one that's always been a relatively short-term position, and people tend to go on from it to run larger parishes. And so we kind of knew it was going to be about a 3 to 5 year position. So we started looking, and we looked at a few places. And what immediately struck me about Tucson was how warm and friendly the people were at the congregation. What it reminds me of is that our presiding bishop said just recently, if it's not about love, it's not about God. And I was really struck that there was so much love in the people that I was meeting at the parish, and they were incredibly friendly and generous with their time. And they just seemed like people who were genuinely trying to figure out the next right step in their relationship with God and with one another, and that was an appealing thing to me.
You know, you bring up a subject that I wanted to cover, and you bring up the word that's so important. I hope it's important to many people, is love. And it seems like we're kind of in a period here with so much hatred, so much anger going on, so much division in this country, something, Robert, I haven't seen really since kind of the 60s, the late 60s. You're too young for that, but to remember all that. But where, how can you, and now what you're going to be doing at St. Philip's, how can you be a force in kind of maybe trying to moderate some of this anger and hatred?
That's a great question. It's something I think about a lot. And the phrase that always comes to me is from Scripture when it talks about the still small voice of peace. And I feel like that oftentimes that's what the church's role is to be that voice that's calling for peace and calm, and to be the kind of thing that we seem to be lacking right now in our common culture, which is a sort of a village green or a crossroads where people can come together across political, social, ethnic, economic divides and find a place where they can gather around a common sense of a more transcendent vision of what it means to be a human being. And right now I feel like we're mired in the pettiest definitions of what it means to be a human being. And our culture has lost that ability to look higher and to look upward and to look deeper. And so my hope is that what the church provides is that vocabulary of love, where we learn to love despite the many differences that we all have. And you know, if you look at what the church does at its best, and that is to unite people around one another, around God, and around looking outward again and looking upward again. And I feel like that is something our culture seems to have lost, and lost a kind of common story of who we are.
I can't help but think that if Jesus Christ came back today and was looking at this situation, and he'd be very sad.
Oh, I think he'd flip the tables over. I think he would look at us and he would say, shame, shame, shame. And I think you would get a get behind me, Satan kind of moment. Mm-hmm. Because I think that the kind of language that we're hearing right now about, you know, grown people talking about one another is so... I shudder to use the word demonic, but it's almost like we're possessed by some spirit that is overtaking our ability to be kind to one another. And I think that if the devil were to set loose, a force right now, it feels like that is among us right now. And I think that the world needs some different way of understanding each other.
We're speaking with Reverend Robert Hendrickson. He is the new new pastor and rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church here in Tucson. Your background, your story is very compelling. I'm going to begin by asking you, when did you feel at a very young age, did you think that this would be your calling, and what happened that kind of maybe changed that?
So when I was really young, and I sort of 9 or 10, I used to go to church with my grandmother, one time I went in and I took the water bottle from my bicycle, and I went to the holy water font and took a bunch of holy water home, and I started baptizing my stuffed animals. Now, see, my grandmother says baptize. I think I was doing an exorcism on them, but she liked to say baptism because it was less creepy. And then I lost my mother and my sister in relatively short order. Mm. And at that point, I sort of decided, in the way you do as a kid and as a teenager in particular, you sort of say, well, if God does this to me, because it's all about us at that age, then there must not be a God. So I spent a long time not believing or thinking I didn't believe in God. And I realized later that it wasn't that I didn't believe, it's that I was angry with God. And mm-hmm. those are two very different things. And so there was a kind of process, and I thank my wife for this, because she was sort of a thoughtful, gentle, kind, brilliant Christian, and her sort of combination of compassion and intellect and constant faithfulness were an inspiration to me. So I kept going to church even though I wasn't sure what I believed. And then for a while I lived in China, and I went to visit a friend who was a Buddhist monk. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, I said, well, you know, I think maybe I'm Buddhist. I'm not really sure what I am. And mm-hmm. he said, well, you can't be. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, aren't you people supposed to, like, you know, be bringing us over to, you know, to recruiting or something?
I don't know if Buddhists are very big on the missionary front.
They don't seem to be. No, they don't have that kind of zeal.
No, they don't.
But he said, what he said to me has always resonated. And he said, you can't become a Buddhist because you can't come here because you're running from something else. And he told me, and basically he said, I needed to go home, meaning back to the church I grew up in, and make peace with it before I could decide I was something different. And so when I came back to the States, my wife and I were at that point moving to New Haven, and we both chose the Episcopal Church. She had grown up Methodist. I had grown up Roman Catholic. We were looking for something that kind of was in between the two in some ways. It became an immediate home for us and in a way that no other place had been. And so from there, it was a kind of fast track. The priest at the Episcopal Church in town called me up and said, well, I'd like to go to lunch with you. So then I thought, well, I've done something wrong. They're going to send me out of the church. And we were sitting at lunch. He said, you know, I think I sense a call in you to ministry. And I said, your phone is broken. You know, I did not sense anything like a call at that point. But through lots of conversation and lots of really good mentoring, it became clearer and clearer that this is where I was meant to be and began to feel like, as Buechner says, where the world's need meets your joy, and it felt like there was need out there, and it felt like I had, it gave me joy to think about serving.
The Reverend Robert Hendrickson's story continues on the Buckmaster Show, and there is more to the story. We'll get the Brooks Brothers chapter of his life, and we'll also talk about the aging population of congregations, of the clergy. That's all to come as we continue on Buckmaster.
It's time for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona's second annual Sweat for Pets Walk, Run, and Roll, October 23rd at the University of Arizona Campus Mall. Bring your well-behaved canine companion and all your friends and show your support for your hometown animal shelter. All proceeds go directly back to saving the lives of the homeless and neglected animals at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. You can win prizes too, including a Fitbit and an Apple Watch. Win a custom t-shirt when you raise $100. Register today and start building your team at sweatforpetstucson.org.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying to 18 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with businesses they trust. Hi, this is Alan Schultz with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, here to remind you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week. Are you accredited? To apply today, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by one of our fine sponsors. If you're looking for a great road trip, 3 hours east of Tucson, over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. That is a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States, that southwestern portion of New Mexico. And the elevation is what really makes this place special. It's like a mile-high elevation, 5,000 to 7,000 feet. You've got historic Silver City, the National Cliff Dwellings National Monument is there, and the first wilderness in the United States, as far as a national designation, is the Gila, and that is a gorgeous part of this portion of the United States. Great places to stay like Bear Creek Cabins and Manzano's RV Park. The full listing at southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with our discussion with Reverend Robert Hendrickson, 39-year-old spiritual leader now of St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, which is really an iconic church going back the design of the church by Mr. Jostler. It's a beautiful facility. If you're new to Tucson, haven't been there, check it out. It's at the corner of River and Campbell. We were talking in our earlier segment with you, Robert, about kind of how you came to the Episcopal Church, and I wanted to quickly follow up. What was it about the Episcopal Church that resonated with you and your wife?
I think when we went to the Episcopal Church, we went to the first Episcopal Church we visited was Christ Church New Haven, which eventually was the church I was ordained in and worked at for years. But it was the very first Episcopal Church we visited, and we went in. And it looked like the kind of Roman Catholic Church from before Vatican II. So it was lots of smoke, lots of Latin, lots of chant,
a lot of incense,
all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So we walked out, and I turned to my wife and I said, "Well, that's how church should be." And she turned to me. She said, "I'm never going back there again." So then we went to we ended up going to Trinity Church on the Green, which is a big church in the middle of New Haven. And what we found there was people who were friendly without being kind of cloying. The choir was wonderful. The liturgy was traditional, and it all felt like something that was deeply rooted and yet also on the cutting edge in some ways. They were very active in various kinds of social ministries around the city. It was a church where women serve at the altar. It's a church that was having open conversations about how to handle issues like how do you handle same-sex unions and things like this. And so it seemed like they were wrestling with real issues and actually taking into account people's real lives, day-to-day life, while at the same time being incredibly rooted. And so all that kind of made sense to us. And it was the first church that I think both she and I walked in and both walked out of together and said, "This is it. This is home for us."
So your career path at that point was not in the clergy. It was with in the fashion industry with Brooks Brothers. How did all that come about?
Well, it came about because I felt a call to not be in the breadline. I needed a job, and I went to work at Brooks Brothers, and I went to work selling clothes and
started as a salesperson.
Selling clothes part time.
Wow.
At at a store, and then I became an assistant manager, and then the store manager, and then a position opened up for the communications director position in New York. I'd always wanted to move to New York, and so I got some folks who had way more influence than I did to put in a good word. And before you knew it, I was interviewing and had a great time there. And so I ended up there and probably would have been there for quite some time. And then they were bought out. Like so many corporate transitions go, you know, the last in is the first out. And so then I was sort of faced with a life transition and decided I was going to do something I'd always been fascinated by, which was China. So I went back to school to study Chinese and modern Chinese history. And then went to Cornell to study Chinese language, and then Beijing Foreign Studies University to do studies in contemporary Chinese history and Chinese language.
And then throughout all this, Robert, in the back of your mind was your earlier experiences with spiritual experiences.
It was always there. I mean, it's like when I was in Beijing, I certainly didn't consider myself terribly religious, but I was always visiting churches. There were a couple of really beautiful churches in Beijing. I was visiting Buddhist temples and monasteries. And so there was always this kind of algorithm of kind of spiritual kind of pull that was running in my life. And even when I was at Brooks Brothers, something was there, because I remember at our store we organized canned food drive. So customers who brought in 15 canned goods would get 15% off an order. And I was always trying to think about how can this business be more of a kind of participant in the local community. And so even in the business world, I was intending to go to study before I got the call to ministry. I was going to go to business school and study corporate ethics. And so even in those kind of very secular pursuits, in the back of my mind were always this concern about how can corporations, how could business kind of be a fuller, kind of more robust participant in the common good.
I was thinking about the Brooks Brothers logo with the Lamb of God, which is kind of interesting.
Yes. The thing I became
people
famous
may not
for.
Realize it. If they think of the logo, try to describe it for people.
It's a lamb sort of hanging on a little tether of some sort that's holding it up in the air.
Yes, and that is the Lamb of God. And I don't know the exact history of it, but don't really have time to get into all that. But I do want to talk a little bit about the aging population. You being 39 years old is unusual for clergy these days, the aging of the clergy. And not just the aging of the clergy, but their flock is aging.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of those... It's one of those multi-layered issues, and I think it's not just churches that are being hit by this. But if you look, I mean, how many people join the Kiwanis Club? How many people join the Lions Club?
Very few older people. Very few younger people.
And so we're losing the sense of being a joining community-driven society. And so it's kind of a trope, but you walk down the street, everybody's staring at their phone, and we've lost the ability to connect in deep, rich ways. And this is one of the things I really hope for in the church. I said this in a sermon yesterday, that in some ways I wish the church ran more like an AA meeting, because everyone there is honest, and they're all there because they're struggling, and they're united around this kind of sense of being honest about where they are in life. And so I think we've lost places to do that, and it also doesn't help that people are just hyper busy now. And I think it's deadly for people's spiritual life and their sense of purpose, because you're just constantly agitated. It's like I was listening to your previous showdown.
Right.
And I was thinking people just stay mad all the time.
Yeah, people are angry.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that it's good at least to let people have their voice. That's
absolutely
why I do the
absolutely
show.
Absolutely.
All right. So we can find you at St. Philip's in the Hills, and you're there every Sunday.
Yes.
And you beyond Sunday. You're
beyond Sunday.
Yes. You're available, certainly, if people want to check it out. Also, the book, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk about, like, getting younger adults into the church. The book is called Yearning, Young Adults, Mission, and the Church. And that might be a good place for parents with kids maybe to
It's especially focused on college students, but it's got a particular, but it's a good place to start.
Robert Hendricks, Reverend Robert Hendricks at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, the new rector there. Thank you very much and good luck to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
This portion of Buckmaster presented by, are you a gardener by chance?
My wife is.
Oh, well, they've got a, you and your wife have to check out Green Things. Green Things now on 13 acres, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com. And Reverend Hendrickson, Green Things is not far from you at St. Philip's. So when you go, you will see an incredible place with everything you need for your gardening. If they don't have it there, I doubt anybody's going to have it. That's going to do it for Buckmaster today. This afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw and Ray Allen with you on that program. Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8, and then The Daily Double, Chris DeSimone, and different guest host every day. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. We'll be talking about animal welfare issues here on The Buckmaster Show. Till then, Ray and I wish you a great afternoon and evening.